This Eid al-Adha, this Eid al-Adha, this Eid al-Adha, this Eid al-Adha. May Allah's blessings bring happiness, peace and prosperity in your life. Eid Mubarak, Eid Mubarak, Eid Mubarak.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you're watching our beautiful program, Hajj, the Journey of a Lifetime. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, in the previous episodes, we learnt about the blessings of performing Hajj, the advantages of performing Hajj, the disadvantages of not performing Hajj. Today, inshallah Azza wa Jal, in our fourth episode, we're going to be talking about how to leave when a person leaves for Hajj, what kind of state that person needs to be, and some of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and how we should be performing Hajj as well. Inshallah azza wa jal, some of the stories from the awliya-i kiram, and alhamdulillah azza wa jal, a very beautiful story from the great saint of Allah azza wa jal, Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. I'll start with that story. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is from the Qadri order. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Amir Ahl Sunnat has that in the Shajra Qadriya Razaviya Tariya. So alhamdulillah, Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is our Piro Murshid, as you can say, from the Shajra Qadriya Razaviya Tariya. So we are very lucky to have awliya-i kiram saints like Sayyiduna Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He used to have a murid, a disciple. And one day the disciple came to Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi and asked him to make dua for him. So Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi made dua for him, and the disciple, he left. And a few months later, when he came back, Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he asked him that, "I haven't seen you for a long time. A few weeks or even months have passed by that I haven't met you. Where were you?" And the disciple, he says that, "Ya Sayyidi, I went for Hajj. Main Hajj par gaya tha." And Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he asked his disciple, his murid, "MashaAllah, you went for Hajj. When you left your home, what was your intention?" And the murid, he says that, "Ya Sayyidi, my intention was just to perform Hajj, nothing else." And he goes, "Okay. When you left your home, what feelings did you have in your heart? That you're going for Hajj, you're going to see Baytullah, you're going to go to the beloved city of Madinatul Munawwara. What was in your mind? What was your feeling?" And he says, "Nothing really, I just left for Hajj." And he goes, "Okay. When you entered the beautiful city of Makkah, that city where many, many prophets, or you can say every prophet, came to do the tawaf of the Kaaba, when you entered Makkah, what was your feeling?" "Nothing. I just entered Makkah." And he goes, "Okay." So he kept asking him about every individual place of Makkah and Medina, to an extent that, "What was your feeling when you were doing the tawaf, when you were drinking the Zamzam water? How did you feel when you were in Arafat with amongst all the Hajis? And everything, when you went to Medina, what was your feeling?" And every time he asked him these questions, the murid, he says that, "Ya Sayyidi, I had nothing like that. I just went to do my Hajj and I just come back." And Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, "My son, you didn't go for Hajj. You went for a holiday." My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, many of us who have been on Hajj, let's ask this question to ourselves. When we left for Hajj or for Umrah, what feeling did you have? When you entered Makkah, what feelings did you have? When you were doing the tawaf of the Kaaba, when you offered your two rakat near Maqam Ibrahim, when you did Safa and Marwa Sa'i, when you were in the closeness of the Kaaba, you were in the Hatim Kaaba, did you feel anything? When you were drinking the Zamzam water, what did you think about the water itself? If the answer is nothing really, we just went for Hajj, then ask yourself, what benefit did we get from our Hajj and for our Umrah? Sadly, a lot of people, when they do go for Hajj and Umrah, it's only sometimes just a trip or a holiday or a place where we can get cheap gold or a place where we can do a lot of shopping. Or Allah Ta'ala forbid, if we have this in our hearts, that when we come back, people are going to decorate us with so many hars, with so many flowers. People are going to call us hajis. We're going to get a Hajj Mubarak, Umrah Mubarak cakes. We're going to have people coming round to our house giving us Hajj Mubarak. People will respect us. People will ask us to make dua for them. If that was the case, then ask yourself a question. Did we really do Umrah? Or was it all to show off in front of people? Did we really go for Hajj? Or was it only to show the people that I went for Hajj? That's for everyone. No one to look at other people. I cannot look at someone else and say, this is why he went. And in the same place, no one should look at me and say, this is why he went. It's time that we looked at ourselves. We pondered over our amal, no one else's amal. And then you'll get the answer, why you went for Hajj, why you went for Umrah. Some important things to remember, inshallah azawajal, before we go for Hajj, some very, very vital, important information. And all this information has been taken from Amir Ahl Sunnah's book, Rafiqul Haramain, your partner in Haramain. If you haven't read this book, then I advise you strongly, before you go for Hajj, read Rafiqul Haramain. And before you go for Umrah, read Rafiqul Mu'tamirin. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, these books will not only give you that vital information and knowledge of how to perform Hajj and Umrah, but inshallah Azza wa Jal will give you that reasoning, will give you that soch, that niyat, why I need to go for Hajj. The way Amir Ahl Sunnah has written these books is amazing. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability to perform Hajj and Umrah for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now I want to start off with some of the things that we need to bear in mind. And then inshallah, we'll talk about each of the things as well and clarify some of the very important points as well. Number one is, when you leave for Hajj or for Umrah, if you owe anyone any money, try to pay off your debts before you go. Amuman, sometimes what happens is, if you are planning for going for Hajj and Umrah and you owe people money, now that person might be waiting there sitting at home that so and so owes me 5 grand, 10 grand, and he's going to pay me as soon as possible because he promised. But instead of paying that person his debt, we go for Umrah, we go for Hajj. Now just imagine how that person will feel, that this guy owes me money instead of paying my money back. And I've seriously, and I've talked to a lot of people who have said that, yara fulana Hajj par gaya si paise mare dene so dite koni Hajj par le aa gaya. Yeah. Now, when you go for Hajj nowadays, 5,000-6,000 pounds or even a complete Hajj, you know, you'll need about minimum 8,000 pounds roughly. You have to do some shopping, your ticket, your everything else, roughly about 7,000 to 8,000 pounds. And if you owe someone 5,000 pounds, why not give his debt off first? If the date is not there, or if that person gives you the ijazat, he says to you, it's okay, you go for Hajj and Umrah. When you come back, when you have the money, pay me. That is brilliant, that is fine. But if someone is asking you, he's knocking on your doors, he's sending you a message, you're avoiding him, and you go for Hajj, you ask yourself a question. Is your Hajj going to be accepted? Is your Hajj going to be the same Hajj that you wanted it to be? Can you imagine, on this way, on your journey towards Hajj, there are many blessings. Inshallah, we're going to learn them as well. There are many blessings of dying on the way of Hajj. Now, if you die on the way of Hajj, yeah, and then you owe people money, and that person is very, very, you know, hard, you know, living his life. I know some people that who even remortgage their houses just because someone owes them money and they're not paying it back. I know people that have to go to the bank or even ask people to let them borrow money because so-and-so Haji Saab, so-and-so person who's going for Umrah, he's going to the blessed lands, but he owes me money. Instead of paying me, he's going for Umrah. I need money to borrow, please. I've had people coming to me as well and talking and mentioning these people. And sometimes it's amazing what people do. And then, you know, people have heard this, that if you go to Muzdalifah, Allah Ta'ala will forgive the rights of people. You know, all them rights that you have violated of people. Yeah, that these rights, Allah Ta'ala will forgive them. Now, the thing is, Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, has promised that He will forgive you the rights that you have violated of people. Yeah? Hukukul ibad, you violated them. Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, will reconcile with these people and your sin will be forgiven. But that doesn't mean that you owe people money and then in Maqam-e Muzdalifah, when you are there, that night when you sleep in the open, the rights of all these rights that you violated of people are going to be forgiven. So therefore, I owe someone 10 grand is being forgiven. That's not the case. That 10 grand is not forgiven. You've got to pay money back. So make sure when you go for Hajj and Umrah, if you owe anyone debt, then make sure you ask him for forgiveness. Make sure you ask his permission that I am going for Hajj, I am going for Umrah, I owe you this much money. If that person says that, no, I need my money back, I'm desperate for it, then please do not go for Hajj and Umrah. Repay that person his money. The other important piece of information is meet your relatives and ask forgiveness. You know, all those relatives that we have violated their rights. You know, your relatives are very, very close. And to break ties with your relatives, you know, without any valid Shari reason is a sin. For a Muslim to be not talking to another Muslim for 3 or more days is not jais. It's not acceptable in Islam. So you are going for Hajj and your cha-cha, your mommy, your puppy, your tai, your masi, your khala, your brother, your sisters, your neighbors, they don't talk to you because of the things that you've done. And now you want to go for Hajj, make sure you go to them. You meet them. You seek forgiveness from them. You say sorry to them and you ask them to make dua. And if someone does come to you, if you are watching and someone does come to you and is going for Hajj, and he comes to you and he asks you for forgiveness, then the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he says, "Man la yarhamu la yurham." The one who does not have mercy will not deserve mercy. Yeah, so have mercy upon that person. Forgive him. Yeah, let him go for Hajj and Umrah, you know, with a good heart. Let him go with happiness, with ease. So forgive them. But if you are the one who is going for Hajj and Umrah, it's our responsibility that we go to our relatives, we go to our family members, and we ask them to forgive them all the things that they've done, even if it's their fault. Yeah, unki galti hai, chode, unka kusoor hai. Main na jaana, unhone kaha, unhone kusoor hai, main kiya jaa. Don't have this kind of an attitude. Go to them, say sorry to them, and inshallah azza wa jal, go with a clean heart. You don't want to be going for Hajj, you know, heart full of hatred for your family members. Hatred for full, you know, not only family members, these are your Zawil Qurba. Yeah, these are your blood relations, your uncle, your aunties, they're your blood relations. How can you go for Hajj and Umrah with all of them not talking to you? Go to them, ask them, seek forgiveness for them, and then go for Hajj and Umrah. When your heart is cleansed from the hatred, you know, of all your relatives, and then when you go for Hajj and Umrah and you make dua, Allah Ta'ala will fill your heart with His muhabbat, inshaAllah, Azza wa Jal. Amir al-Sunnah, he says that, leave enough provisions at home for your family. Leave enough for your family so that they don't go out and beg people. They don't go to so-and-so relative and say, Janaab, wo ta gaya gaya, jaybar ta pichay, kak bhi nahi chodi gaya. Hasn't left anything behind. Yeah? So make sure that you sit down, you look at your finances. If you're going for 3 weeks, it's always advisable to leave an extra week or so. Anything could happen. Flights can be delayed. You know, there's so many cases where I can remember that the flights were delayed for 3-4 when one of the volcanoes erupted and there was so much ash in the cloud. And the flights were disrupted for nearly 3-4 days. Yeah, no flights were coming back. So with these kind of things, or you could be falling ill, anything could happen. So leave enough provision, enough money, enough food at home. Yeah, or enough money so that your family can buy the food. You know, so rather than they're going to their relatives' house, rather than they're struggling, yeah, you might be enjoying yourself with the beautiful, you know, cities of Makkah and Medina. You might be enjoying the beautiful views and the barakat and the rahmat, while your family will be struggling at home. He's only left 100 pounds. You don't want to do that. You want to leave enough money so that your family can have an easy life, inshallah azza wa jal. And then also, try not to take, you know, borrow money from people and then go for Hajj. That is wrong as well. And Amir al-Sunnah, he says that if you don't have money, that means Hajj is not farz upon you. Why do you have to go and borrow money from someone? Or even go to a bank and get a loan and then go for Hajj? If that is the case, you are genuinely, you don't have money, then you don't have to do Hajj. Hajj is not farz upon you. And for that, talk to Darul Ifta. They'll guide you, inshallah, what to do. And they'll tell you what the iftah will be. You know, they'll tell you that this is what the ruling is, and you act upon that. If they say Hajj is not a farz upon you, then don't go and asking your neighbors, your family and your friends for money that you're going for Hajj. Don't even do that. But when you do go for Hajj, please leave enough provisions at home so that your family can have an easy life behind you as well. Read Rafiqul Haramain and learn the du'as, which are very important. Many people you meet, mashallah, you've come for Hajj. Do you know the talbiyah? Talbiyah was one of them. Do you know the du'a for entering Makkah? No. Where's your ihram? We met someone in the airport and he had a backpack on. And we said to him, mashallah, are you going on Umrah as well? Yeah, I'm going on Umrah. Okay, we've got a direct flight. Where's your ihram? Oh, I'm going to wear it when I get to Makkah. You can't, you know, you can't cross the haram boundary, the miqat, without the ihram. Dam will become wajib upon you. You know, and he never read anything. All he wanted was to go for Umrah. Allah Ta'ala accept his intention. You know, we're not doubting anyone's intention. But can you imagine going to Makkah with your plain clothes and then going to your hotel and changing into an ihram? Yeah, because people are not educating themselves. So it's very important that you read Rafiqul Haramain. If you don't understand anything or something, then go to an alim-e-deen, sit with him, drink Darul Ifta up and say that, look, you don't want to be going first time for your Hajj and you're making a lot of mistakes. So many people make mistakes there. And then who do they listen to? They sat at the barber's shop, cutting their hair, and they're asking the barbers, Aji Umrah kisra karsa, Aji kisra karsa. They're just barbers, they're not ulama-i-kiram. You know, they're not scholars. If they were scholars, they would have been sat in the masjid guiding other people. What they have done is they've done a course in cutting hair. They're barbers. They're doing their job. Let them do their job, which they're doing perfectly fine. Why are you asking them the masails of deen? And then what happens is sometimes people say, oh, chodo ji, itna sakht bhi deen ko nahi. Yara kun aana sakht hai deen? No one says deen is sakht. But you need to understand the deen, and you need to read. You know, would you ever sit in a plane where the pilot doesn't know how to fly a plane? Yeah, but oh, khair hai ji, but it's kitna soha, but jaz hi darana na, aur jaz nahi daran gaya, sare dry urse. You know, so don't talk about these kind of things. Deen is not sakht and all these. Hum apne dil ko behlate hain. You know, we just sometimes, you know, we just make ourselves look, feel better. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's not that strict. Even though it doesn't matter. I'll go and I look at people. You know, you see people there. I was once doing the tawaf and a guy came up and he goes, can you tell me when the tawaf will stop? Okay. When did you come to do the tawaf? Because I read my Fajr Salah. And after that, I started doing the tawaf because people told me that when everyone stops, then you stop. He goes, no one is stopping. People are just going round, round and round. And I've been doing that for the nearly 3-4 hours. I sometimes sit down, have a bit of rest, then start again. When does it end? Now the poor person did not even know that you have to do 7 rounds and then read the 2 rakat. Your tawaf will be completed. Because he never learned and he went through all them problems. So please, if you go for Hajj or Umrah, read before you go, understand before you go, educate yourself before you go. Before you make mistakes, people make so many common mistakes there. And these are major mistakes I'm talking about, not even minor mistakes. major mistakes. Major mistakes as they've done four rounds and they broke their wuzu, they never went back. They've done the tawaf but never done the sa'i. They've done the tawaf without wuzu. They've done the tawaf but they never read the two rakat. They've gone for hajj. They've stayed there. In one case, there were two women who did not even go to Arafat on the day of hajj. Why? Because they missed the bus. They were drinking tea in their tents. And the whole group lined up and everyone went into the buses to Arafat. They stayed there. 2 days later, when everyone returned back to Mina, they found him in the tent sleeping. Oh, Sunnah, did you come here to sleep? Where were you? Oh, we looked for you everywhere. So we thought, it's alright, you're going to come back. Have you come back now? Yeah, they go, yeah, we've come back. It's the 10th of Zilhijjah today. A hajj was yesterday, which you have missed. Now what's going to happen? Achaji, group leader, it's his fault. And then, you know, it's his fault, it's the husband's fault. They were with their husbands. They didn't even realize that the wives were not with them. Now, all things are going to get worse. These are major mistakes. Can you imagine spending all that money, going there and still not doing hajj? Why? Never knew these kind of things. So please, I request you, whenever you get ready to go for hajj or for umrah, read at home, educate yourself, and then go. Give sadaqah. Give sadaqah in the way of Allah. You know, and there's a very beautiful story I heard from Nigrani Shura once. And this story is about a group of hajis who leave their homes. And as they are traveling, you know, on the way, it's night time or they feel hungry, and they stop there. So one of them, he says that, okay, you guys stay here, and I'll go and I'll grab some food from the market. So he goes and as he's going towards the market, he sees a woman that is near a dead donkey. And what that woman is doing, she's got a sack with her and she's cutting the meat of that dead donkey and putting it to the sack. Now this person thinks, what is she doing? Why is she cutting the meat? You know, and he thought that, oh no, she's not going to go and feed this to someone, is she? So he starts following that woman. And then what happens is that the woman, she goes to a very small hut type house. And she knocks on the door and she goes inside. So that man crawls up to the house and through the windows he sees that she's got four daughters and she's chopping up the meat and she's cooking that meat. So this person's thinking to himself, oh my God, she's going to feed this meat to her girls, to her children. So he knocks on the door and one of the daughters, she opens the door and he says that, please, I beg you, that meat that you have bought at home, do not eat that meat, it's haram for you. And the woman from inside the parda, she says, please go away from here. What do you know about hunger? What do you know about me? We haven't eaten for days today. We haven't found anyone. No one is willing to help us. So therefore, please go away from here and leave us to what we are doing. And the man, he says, please, I beg you, I will help you. Tell me what you want. I will help you, but do not eat that meat. And the woman, she says that it's been a few days that we haven't eaten. We're very, very hungry. My daughters are always asking for something to eat. I can't give them anything. So the man, he thinks to himself, I'm going on hajj. What's the point me going for hajj when I leave these people behind who don't even have money to eat? So all the money that he had, that he was taking on hajj, what he did was he went to the market, he bought some fresh halal meat, he brought some rice, lentils and other flour and other stuff, and the rest of the money that was left over, he puts that into the flour and he knocks on the door and he says, please accept this from me and give your children halal food to eat. And then they all make dua for them. One of the daughters, she says, may Allah give you a lot more. One daughter says, may Allah accept your hajj. One daughter says, may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you for what you have done in this world until the day of judgment. So they're all giving of duas. And this person, he leaves and he goes to his friends. And he says to his friends that, look lads, I can't go for hajj because of these problems. And they say, what are you talking about? We've left our home and you're not going to go for hajj with us. And he said, no, please leave me alone. I'm going to go back. So he returned back home. As these hajis, they carried on their journey, they performed the hajj, they came back. And this person with a broken heart, he goes to meet them. And as he goes and meets these friends, and one of them says, Allah accepts your hajj. You guys were lucky, you've been to the blessed places. And they go, what are you talking about? You were with us when you were doing the tawaf. Were you not with me when we were in Arafat? One of them said that you were with me when we were doing the tawaf of the Kaaba. These guys are shocked. What are they talking about? I didn't do hajj. I didn't go. I went back home. And then that night when he went to sleep, his destiny awoke, and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "How many more witnesses do you want me to bring that you have done Hajj?" And he says, "Ya Rasulullah, I didn't do Hajj. Ya Rasulullah, what is this all about?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you gave your Hajj money to those poor people, you helped them. Allah Azza wa Jal created an angel in your form. That angel performed the Hajj for you. Until the day of judgment, Allah will give you reward. And we never leave people like that. Wake up and look under your pillow. As he lifted his pillow up, he found every penny that he gave to that poor woman, every money was there. That is when you give sadaqah. So alhamdulillah, try to give sadaqah as well. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I asked permission for Umrah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Do not forget us, my brother, in your du'as. Do not forget us in your du'as." And Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, "By Allah, these were the best words, and they were worthy of every single thing that I can own in my life in this world." So when you see a haji or someone going for Umrah, ask them to make dua for you. And when people do say, "Make dua for us," don't say, "Janab, ujasi, tu sanada na karsa, to ho kuch ne masa karsa." Instead of saying that, just say, "Inshallah, inshallah, inshallah." Now, when you say inshallah, even if you forget to give salam or to make dua for someone, you're not going to be held accountable. You're not going to be sinful. But inshallah, azawajal, say inshallah. And then especially if this is your second time, or you know, Hajj is not farz upon you, but you're going for a nafli Hajj or Umrah, make sure you ask your parents for permission. It doesn't matter how big you are. Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on his second Hajj, he asked his mother for her permission. When she gave permission, Ala Hazrat went on Hajj. So make sure you ask your parents. If they're not living with you, ring them up and say that, "Mom, Dad, I'm going for Hajj, please give me permission." Yeah, inshallah, once they give you permission, then you go for Hajj. It's no use telling, "Aji, main jai rahi Jaipur, theek hai, ijazat de yulo." You've already done everything. Why are you asking for ijazat now? So inshallah, ask your parents for permission as well. And make sure when you are on the plane, keep reading talbiyah when you are in ihram. Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, there's a very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that jo koi shakhs talbiyah padhta hai to uske daaye baaye dono taraf zameen ki intiha tak maujooda darakht aur patthar aur mitti uske sath talbiya padte hain. That everything, the right side, the trees, the stones, they all recite talbiya with that person. And then another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated by Jabir bin Abdullah radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu is that one who recites talbiya aisa paak gunahon se ho jayega jis din uski maa ne use jana tha. Allah will forgive his sins the day he was born from his mother's womb. And the last thing I want to mention is the reward of dying on the way for Hajj. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Quran, "And whoever leaves his home migrating towards Allah and his noble messenger, and death seizes him, his reward then lies entrusted with Allah, and Allah is most forgiving, most merciful." There are so many blessings of dying in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. I just want to mention one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone passed away as he was going on his way to Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba ikram that this person has been forgiven. The mafhum of the hadith is. And then, my dear Islam brothers, the one who does kharcha, jo kharcha karta hai, the one who spends money. Just want to mention the last hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Hajj ke duran kharch karne ka sawab raah khuda mein kharch karne ki tarah 700 guna zyada milta hai." Allah Ta'ala rewards you 700 times more when you spend in the way of Allah. Try to take a bit more money with you so you can help your rafiqs, your companions, inshallah. So may Allah Ta'ala bless us and give us the ability to travel again and again, inshallah. So I hope you're going to be watching the next episode, inshallah. So take care. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
This Eid al-Adha, this Eid al-Adha, this Eid al-Adha, this Eid al-Adha. May Allah's blessings bring happiness, peace and prosperity in your life.